Governor Mitch Daniels is the first to agree that township government makes perfect sense if you happen to be a pioneer living in the Indiana frontier in the mid-1800s. Many township boundaries, he notes, were laid out to accommodate a one-day round trip by horse. Hi, I'm John Schwantes, and on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, our expert panel will look at whether township government has, as the governor suggests, long outlived its usefulness. Among the questions we'll examine, is township government grassroots democracy at its best, or an opaque, obsolete, and often overlapping bureaucracy that's prone to corruption? What, if any, township or city services should be consolidated at the county level? And what happened to those much ballyhooed recommendations offered 3 years ago by the Indiana Commission on Local Government Reform that are known as the Kernan Shepherd Commission? All that and more on this edition of Indiana Lawmakers, from the State House to your house.
Purdue Research Park. Four locations, 200 companies, 4,000 jobs. Purdue Research Park. The idea economy is here.
3 years ago, a bipartisan commission led by former Governor Joe Kernan and Indiana Supreme Court Chief Justice Randall Shepherd issued 27 recommendations for streamlining local government in Indiana. Among other things, the panel called for the abolition of township government, the consolidation of public safety services at the county level, and for the elimination of nepotism and conflicts of interest throughout county and municipal government. So far, 7 of the proposals have been enacted in some form. That leaves a lot of work to do, Governor Mitch Daniels said last month during his annual State of the State address. Indiana, he said, is waiting. Joining me to talk about just how long Indiana and the governor might have to wait, our Republican Representative Phil Hinkle of Indianapolis, a former township assessor and city councilman who now chairs the House Committee on Government and Regulatory Reform, Republican Senator Jim Merritt of Indianapolis, the Senate's Majority Caucus Chairman, and John Krause, the former Indianapolis Deputy Mayor who now serves as Director of Indiana University's Public Policy Institute. And I thank you all for joining me for this discussion.
Glad to be here.
Now, I should point out up front, some people watching this or listening may say, hey, how come so many Republicans and how come so many people from Indianapolis? We should stipulate, I think we can all stipulate up front, that local government reform is not a partisan issue. I mean, we've seen time and time again that it is not.
Correct.
So it makes sense, I would suggest, to have representatives of the two caucuses that control the House and the Senate with us today. And as far as Indianapolis, to the extent we see significant reform this session, it may very well be focused on or leading to Marion County and Indianapolis. So I would suggest we have the perfect panel here.
Well, thanks.
Let's start with John Krause.
Okay.
You were the staff director for the Kernan Shepherd Commission. You got to read through all the emails, sit through all the public testimony, research all of the proposals that had been put forth in the past. Give me your best argument for why township government should be eliminated and go the way of the Conestoga wagon, if you will.
Well, since township government was created in part by the Constitution and in that era, it's been below the radar. Until the Supreme Court said that the assessment of property in Indiana was unconstitutional, or the method it was, it didn't get above the radar. And then people started caring because their tax bills went out of sight, and they wondered who drew up the tax bill. And then they finally, we had, in the best sense of the word, a Boston Tea Party at that time, because they said, we want to eliminate the old-style way of assessing this. Since then, I think township government has gone below the radar again, because people say no one cares. Well, the fact that nobody cares, it doesn't touch a lot of people's lives. Now that the tax bills have been put out by the county assessor, most people don't know who their assessor or who their trustee is or anybody on their township boards. It's a way in which local government responded when we were in the horse and buggy days, but it should change.
It should change, but we're talking about a fairly large portion of government.
It's hard to hide 1,008 townships. 1,008 townships.
4,000 elected officials, is that?
And the other reality of it is just a fact. that members of the General Assembly have come out of county political organizations, and these township offices in large part have been part of the farm team that has groomed folks that have eventually gone up to county government and then gone to be elected to the House and to the Senate. And until citizens find some way of being concerned about this, other than the people that either work in the office or support them politically on a local level, we're going to have the status quo. Kernan and Shepard said that that's not the best way of delivering services to the public. There's a better way. What in your life hasn't changed, and it's time for this to change too.
Well, Phil Hinkle, you're a member of the General Assembly now, but as I pointed out in the introduction, you used to be a township assessor. You used to be a member of the Indianapolis City County Council, so you have a perhaps an interesting perspective that many of your colleagues in the House and Senate do not. What's your take on here at the beginning of a new millennium on township government in Indiana? Is it, as John Krause suggests, a horse and buggy approach to government?
And knowing your propensity, as well as John's, for the facts and the details, 106 townships. 1,006. A couple of them have.
So you were cutting 900 right off the top there. So,
I
do like the
thought. 1,006. A couple have consolidated on their own.
Okay. 1,006.
Thank you.
I was corrected
that's
as chairman of
that's
regulatory
progress.
Reform. Yes, that
two
is
are
progress.
Gone.
And the Township Association let me know that there are now 106.
Okay.
There you go again. 1,006.
1,006.
Okay.
Okay. I'm thinking of.
Glad you're not in charge of the budget.
The townships were drawn in a day when, what can you accomplish in one day driving in horse and buggy and back, and particularly in a major metropolitan area like Indianapolis. Township government has really kind of outlived its usefulness. We don't have the kind of consistency that we should have in Marin County because we have 9 different trustees. Now, they will be quick to tell you that there is one set of guidelines. But I served as a township assessor when we had 9 township assessors. We had one set of guidelines. But that didn't mean that each one of us did not interpret those guidelines in our own little way and flex our muscle, so to speak, in our own way so that those guidelines worked for us. And that meant that we didn't always have the uniformity that John Q. Public may have thought we had. So, yes, they have outlived their usefulness, and as far as efficiency, we need to look at bringing them all together.
And Jim Merritt, let's bring you in here. We're going to dig down into some of the specifics of the bills that are pending this session, but first, your overall take on township government. Do you agree with your two fellow panel members here that
well,
it's...
Well, I've always been a proponent of elimination of township government. The issues that we have worked through for the last couple of years is this keeping the services in the community so that, for instance, in Indianapolis, you didn't have to go down to the city-county building to appeal or get poor relief. And somehow the services still have to be out in the communities. And through the years, we've tried all different types of approaches, and it's obvious that those small claim court services still have to be out in the community, in the county versus the city, and that's really been the struggle. But this is not a partisan issue. This is nonpartisan, bipartisan, however you want to say it. Mayor Peterson started. I started working with Mayor Peterson on it, working with Mayor Ballard, and we're making some strides. Several years ago, we placed in law allowing the township fire departments to be absorbed into Indianapolis Fire Department, and that has slowly but surely working. We just have 3 township fire departments left. And if you listen to testimony in committee, Jeff Bennett, who is the Warren Township trustee, talks about how much money has been saved and the efficiencies that have been found. And I really believe that at some point we're going to get those thousand townships. It's going to take time, but in Marion County, the bill that we're going to talk about, I believe, keeps the services where they are and allows the city-county council to find those efficiencies and save those monies. Because one thing we haven't talked about this morning is the tax caps that are cinching down the amount of money that can be spent in these different offices, and that itself will be catalyst for change and for the reform that's on the way.
So the fiscal aspect, in your opinion, is an important part of driving this reform. It's not just a matter of doing away with a perhaps redundant layer of government.
Exactly. Right? I think it's going to force standards that you talked about. I think it's going to force efficiencies. And for instance, in my bill, it really not doesn't suggest, it almost codifies that joint purchasing has to go on with all the townships with the county government. And I think that is going to be the overriding push towards reform. Is there's not going to be any. There's going to be a small amount of money in the future because that 1-2-3 property tax cap.
And if this is, I think everybody agrees this is not a partisan issue, a point you just made as well, if you had to draw some distinction or some line, it appears that it breaks down on almost urban versus rural.
It does.
Elaborate on that, John.
In the rural areas, you've got services of poor relief, and as Senator Merritt said, those services have to continue. But why, when you're having a property tax cap, do you need to spend money on the administration in multiple townships do this? And why do you have to have township advisory boards in multiple townships? Why don't you put the tax dollars that are so scarce into delivering the actual service? The other thing is that there's inconsistency in terms of reporting. The Indianapolis Star and papers around the state reported on this, of balances that some trustees have, records that aren't consistent.
In some cases, I guess the Star found that they have 8 years' worth of reserves.
Some people don't even have their records computerized. Recognize the service. Have that delivered efficiently and economically, but don't have another layer of manpower on each township level.
Okay, so you've pointed out some of the problems, and I should have pointed out in my preamble up front that had there been another chair next to Senator Merritt, it would have been occupied by a current township official. We invited several. They were unable to make it this morning. It's not as if we're trying to mm-hmm. close the door on their opinion, certainly. So I'll do my best to play devil's advocate as we look at some of the legislation that's moving through the House and Senate right now. One thing that has come up in the past after the release of Kernan Shepard was, let's do away with township trustees. And there were suggestions maybe it could be voted on by constituents, by taxpayers, either on a county-by-county basis or one proposal that got some traction last year, at least in the House, was on a township-by-township basis. This year, if we want to talk about, maybe it's easier to talk about what's definitely not going to happen this session than what will happen. One thing that isn't going to happen this session is the abolition of township trustees. Is that a fair assessment?
Phil Hagel, I would always be careful, and I cautioned people yesterday, to say anything is dead until you hear those two words, sine die, because anything can be resurrected. To answer your question, based on the conversations and the compromises that we made in government regulatory reform with reference to the countywide referendum on township trustees, I'd say yes, this year eliminating trustees in the rural areas is going to be a very steep uphill climb. But I found a consensus. I was really kind of surprised when I heard that the Senate had killed the abolition of township boards. Because
this was Senate Bill 405, for those who track these things, I believe it was died, I think, on Wednesday, 28-21.
Yes,
right?
And for 2 years they had passed that bill, and it never got any place in the House. This year, we did get it out of committee to abolish the township boards in all 92 townships, in all 92 counties, and we also accomplished in 1376 to abolish trustees in Marion County. However, that all died.
There's a problem in that nobody cares. No one cares other than someone who has a dog in the fight, and that's basically local political machines, township officials, and then some of the folks on the other side, principally led by the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. But your average citizen doesn't care. It doesn't affect his or her life. Therefore, it's not a problem. It keeps being pushed below the radar, and I have a feeling this bill will be keep coming up, and it'll come up, and no one will do anything until we have a crisis or these townships start producing too much cost, and they hit the property tax cap, and someone says, "Hey, we got to do something in order to save some money." Otherwise, there's a lot of ho-hum here, and the ho-hum means that citizens aren't really concerned about the efficiency of delivering services and the expenditure of local tax dollars.
Well, Jim Merritt, were you surprised by the defeat, given what has been said here, of the piece of legislation that Phil Hinkle just mentioned, Senate Bill 405, which some people who advocate reform had said, oh, this is so watered down to begin with. It doesn't deal with trustees per se. It deals with these three-member advisory boards.
Right, and there's talk of referendum.
Why bother even? They said it's so watered down. And then it loses 28-21. Were you surprised by that?
Well, I was surprised, and Mr. Krause is correct. It is rural versus urban, and there were some switching of votes regarding that, regarding the bill this year versus last year. However, I'm never surprised with what happens in the legislature, and there have been issues through the years that people change their minds on. My focus is Marion County. My dog in that fight is having county government making ends meet. Mayor Ballard he never talks about the money saved. He talks about standards and accountability and how fire departments can work together and the issues that make the trains run on time. Those are the issues that he wants to talk about, and nothing is dead until the last part. In my proposal, trustees are not township employees; they're county employees, and we don't have we eliminate township boards, and the city county council is replaces it, and the trustee has to take the budgets to the city county council.
And again, the bill you're talking about actually passed by the reverse vote,
28-21,
the very reverse of what we just talked about with Senate Bill 405. But yours, again, deals with Marion County, Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
It might end up being
an incubator for the reform to say this possibly saves money. We just don't know that. But I can tell you that the townships that don't have a fire department do not have to go and find an emergency fire loan to keep working and keep the fire department funded.
So if the Marion County legislation is enacted, does that serve as an incubator or as an impetus for other counties later on to say, oh, this is a good idea? Or, John Krause, is it simply, well, Indianapolis, we're done, wash our hands of this whole long-running dispute over fire departments?
Unfortunately, I think that's going to come to pass, because I think people say, well, Indianapolis did it, but they're different from us. And some of the rural areas were saying, we missed the bullet on this one, and let's see if we can continue to keep our head down and until there is another crisis situation like the property tax bills. I don't think the public is going to get fired up to do anything about this. So all the members of the General Assembly are hearing from are, one, those that are in office or the people that support them now on the township level, or some of the business interests from the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce. Citizens aren't there. Kernan Shepherd got several thousand emails from citizens, and they looked down at the logic of the recommendations, and they said, this is a no-brainer. This is correct. But to try to get those people to have foot traction and to communicate their support to members of the General Assembly, it kind of wanes off.
And now when we look at reform on a statewide basis as opposed to Marion County, the one element that seems to have some traction is dealing with nepotism and conflicts of interest. House Bill 1022 has come out of the House, and that would basically prevent people from being their own bosses. If I'm
correct.
A police officer, a firefighter, I can't serve on my local council and
correct.
Quiz my own bosses and set my own salary. And also, if you're an employee of many of these municipal, county, township agencies, you can't employ people with the same last name.
And talking to some of Senator Merritt's colleagues who are in the Senate, they have heartburn with some of the exceptions we made in the nepotism bill. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the Senate when it gets there. And when their nepotism bill comes over to us, I know that it's going to meet a brick wall unless we sit down and make some concessions.
And the Senate has, in fact, I believe this week, they passed, unlike the House bill where these things, where nepotism and conflicts of interest are combined, in the Senate, they gave backing to the nepotism issue, but not to the conflict of interest. What can we read into that, Jim Merritt?
Well, I think this was rapid fire in one day, and it was the last day to pass bills, and the House is tomorrow, on Friday, and it's very difficult to explain what the choices are, but there was probably presentation of the mic. I voted for it all, and there was probably presentation of the mic that different instances and examples of what goes on. But it's a spaghetti bowl, and it all will, as Representative Hinkle, Chairman Hinkle says, it all still is alive, and it all will be discussed. And who knows what's going to happen at the end. I just hope that Marion County reform is left standing.
Anyone want to hazard a quick guess as to where we will end up when the spaghetti bowl is all sorted out or thrown against the wall, maybe to continue the
metaphor? I look forward to working with Senator Merritt in the second half of the session, as well as Senator Lawson, and seeing if we can't come up with something that at least will go to conference committee, and that we can take one or two steps down that road to, I mean, the governor's well aware he's not going to get a full loaf. But if nothing else, he needs to settle for two or three slices.
So John Krause won't have to go back to work staffing yet another commission on this?
Well, you know, the ironic thing is Governor Paul McNutt advanced probably one of the most comprehensive local government reorganization bills and efforts, and that was in 1932. So we have been chewing and discussing and gnawing on this issue since the 30s, and I have a feeling that grandchildren will be here talking about it again.
Well, at least you got a dorm at IU named after him,
yeah.
So there is, it's
yeah,
not all
that's
lost.
True.
Thank you all. Again, my guests have been Republican Representative Phil Hinkle of Indianapolis, Republican Senator Jim Merritt of Indianapolis, and John Krause, Director of Indiana University's Public Policy Institute. On the next Indiana Lawmakers, a fresh look at the General Assembly from Indiana's newest legislators. To join the discussion or pose a question for our guests, visit the Indiana Lawmakers discussion on the WFYI Facebook page. Each week, I'll select one of your questions for our panel of experts. And time now for our weekly conversation with Ed Feigenbaum, publisher of the newsletter Indiana Legislative Insight. Well, Ed, we got to talk about the elephant, the gorilla, the hippopotamus, whatever you want in the room, which is the walkout this week, this past week, of not your walkout, but of House Democrats. But first, in keeping with our theme, local government reform, will we see anything significant come out of this session?
It's going to be real tough, particularly at this point with the walkout, John, because what's happened is that with so few bills that deal with the subject that have made it through before the walkout, and even with the ones being killed, there aren't very many vehicles left for anything to be inserted into. When you've got that kind of a situation, everybody's going to be trying to put as much of what's left, what they couldn't get through in the first half of the session, in whatever's still out there, any of these government reform bills, and that makes them more objectionable. It makes it more difficult to pass when you've got all these provisions that have to satisfy everybody. So the walkout may have made that a whole lot tougher.
And as we tape this, House Democrats are in Urbana, Illinois, at the Sleep Comfort Inn, or whatever the name of the place is, and they said they're not coming back until there are 11 bills that they've issued a list that they want to see effectively off the table.
Yeah, I think it's really subject matter more than the specific bills. They're concerned about the direction that the governor and the Republican majorities in the House and the Senate are taking on education issues and on labor issues. They also talk about the budget, but I think it's a matter of some budget priorities. And we always have a fight about the budget. The budget is something that people should always have some kind of differences with, because that's a policy document as much as it is a fiscal document. But we're really looking at some key issues. We talked at the beginning of the year about Representative Pilath talking about there are some things that people will absolutely have to fight for, and I think the Democrats found their firewall here.
How does this play with the electorate? You know, they're jockeying on both sides here. You have House Speaker Brian Bosma suggesting that, you know, people have walked off the job or have turned their backs on Hoosier taxpayers. And then you have the Democrats saying, you know, we're standing up for the average middle-class Hoosier. And in fact, you know, this is our hotel isn't costing, this, the taxpayers aren't paying for that. This is being paid for with Democratic Party funds. How does this play with the public?
We'll find out in 2012. You know, right now it seems that everybody's playing this as a win for their particular constituencies. And we don't know what's going on with the vast middle, the independent voters and the marginal voters that everybody tries to appeal to. And there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then we just don't know about for 2012.
And the governor this past week said, hey, he'll call them back into special session all the way up to New Year's Eve. Should we cancel our New Year's Eve plans and get the ready for a ball drop in the rotunda?
Things will be resolved well before then.
All right. Very good. We'll leave it there, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week, Ed. Thanks. For more information, episode streams, and extra content, visit us on the web at wfyi.org/lawmakers. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can access live streaming coverage of the General Assembly on the Internet as well. And remember, you can get our show on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Lawmakers under News. Well, that concludes another edition of Indiana Lawmakers. I'm John Schwannis. Take care.
The idea economy is here at the Purdue Research Park. A powerful economic engine and a technology conduit from Chicago to Louisville. Purdue Research Park, the idea economy is here.